Welcome to Overtime Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the big news in CSGO. Quicker, the teams don't have to feel any pressure anymore that they won't be the first team to lose to Complexity.
Nice. For reference, I wasn't told what the intro was. Logan just told me, oh, this is going to be kind of tortured, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Please remember to rate and review us by the end of the episode. It really helps us. My name is Logan. This is AZ-esque. Let's get into Cologne. You notice how I just said, let's get into Cologne this week instead of everything else because nothing really happened. But we have one like small thing that happened that's just, we're just going to talk about for, like,
tiny, 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 massive thing.
Well, it's CSL Valencia.
It was pretty big. Movistar won.
I don't disagree that
in Spain.
Well, Movistar won against there was what, how many Brazilian teams? There were four Brazilian teams.
Four Brazilian teams out of eight, and none of them finished top four.
Yeah, that's genius.
That is right. Look, I was pretty big on Brazilian. We were both pretty big on Brazilian Counter-Strike at the start of the year. That's fucking unacceptable. That's not on. And one of them was 00 Nation, who we'll get to in a minute, doing pretty well at Cologne. Maybe slightly massively helped by the draw. Nobody's going to convince me the 00 Nation team is any good, because I watched them at Valencia and they weren't good. They lost to Sprout, bro. 2-0.
I'm sorry, you can't even say they lost to Sprout. They lost to Rare Atom. They lost to I know. You and I, we're both on the same page there. We think they're good. We think they're fun to watch. But an MIBR, a 00 Nation, this shouldn't be losing. Furia?
Oh, Furia are a complete write-off at the moment. I don't know what's going on with Furia. Art was the lowest rated player at the event.
Don't get me wrong.
His style is... I'm going to move this over so I'm more in the center of the camera. Don't get me wrong. His style is... what's the best way to put it? Inconsistent. It's pretty Quicksilver. But you can't be the lowest rated player at a tier 2 event.
Especially
he was
like
at this event.
Yeah.
It was like an embarrassing showing from Brazil. Embarrassing. There's no other word for it. It was just terrible. But Movistar genuinely looked like a very, very good team. Like a very good team. I have my concerns about this team in terms of I'm not sure they have firepower when it comes to playing against top teams. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm not convinced they do. I think their rifle firepower is not consistent. They occasionally have like Mopoz pop off or Alex, who looked insane at the start of the tournament in a 16-0 followed by a 16-3. But I just don't see the firepower that other upset teams have. But the way they play Counter-Strike is so clean.
This is definitely one of those teams, right, that is more than the sum of their parts, right? If we go around and look at many teams, it's like, G2, I wouldn't say, is more than the sum of their parts. They are many parts. They're theoretically good parts, but I don't think that them combined makes a better team, right? I think they are worth what they are worth, right? But teams like Movistar... I'm trying to think of another team that would fall into this.
Maybe Movistar,
Ents, Heroic to a little bit of a degree. They're all kind of more of the sum of their parts is just like greater than the individual players. It's a much more team environment. Old Astralis is a good example of this.
Yeah.
It's like you can honestly agree, especially after we've seen them break up at this point, is that they were more than the sum of their parts.
The thing that always surprises me about Movistar, and this has surprised me for a long time, is just how ridiculously resilient they are. So many upset tier 2, whatever, like however you want to describe these teams, so many of them run it close and then lose. Sprout are a perfect example of this. Sprout put themselves in amazing positions, and then just when the pressure is on, they crumble against good teams. Movistar in the grand final, I believe, both maps they were down like 14 something and then won them in regulation. And that was the thing that's always surprised me about them, is how good they are in these clutch moments. And I think that comes down to the fact that, okay, they don't have that much firepower, but they're so clean and they're so structured and they're so composed that they punish mistakes very well. And in those pressure moments, people tend to, you know, not make the best decisions. Whereas when the decision is already made for you, in a sense, they just have to follow the protocols. They just stay composed, they stay calm, they close it out, and they're really good at it. And they just always seem to close out these tight games, even against teams presumably better than them.
It takes a lot of the thinking and worrying and having to make the last second critical decision making, which is something that we actually think a lot of Counter-Strike players are good at. But even if you're really good at that, right, having to do that in the high pressure, intense situations is never the greatest thing. So making decision making ahead of time,
yeah,
or decision making from someone external to yourself, right, if you're in a clutch or something, have somebody else saying you save, that kind of stuff, is really, really important. And it's one of those things that Movistar shows really well.
I think so.
Yeah. So for context, I don't know why I'm saying for context about this, but we're going with it. The top two finishers at ESL Challenger Valencia were Movistar Riders and Outsiders. And as we move into the ESL Cologne play-ins, would it surprise anyone if I told that two of the top four teams in ESL Cologne play-ins were Movistar Riders and Outsiders?
Yeah, I think having that event immediately before just gave them like a little bit of a push, a little bit of a kick. But I also think that Movistar especially look like a genuinely good team, and I'm not surprised that they're able to beat some of these like teams in a little bit of a crisis or teams who aren't quite that good. Like, they can actually just outmuscle them. Outsiders have bucket loads of ability, bucket loads of talent. It might be a little bit early for them to go deep because they're still very new. Two of them are like learning new roles. Like, then I think Kika is now taking the place of Yekindar as a hard entry. Yeah,
and it's weird.
And it's not going at the same level as Yekindar, but I mean, it's not going to. Yekindar's a ridiculously good player. So I don't think they're going to do loads of damage, but I would not underestimate them. Like, they will, if you have an off day, they will beat you. Yeah. It's just, I don't think they're going to go deep yet because all of their players are learning new roles. Like, they're so fresh.
So Norbert had an interview with HLTV, which has the greatest quote in it, which is, "Jame has the biggest brain, and in the beginning, it was kind of hard to understand him."
Yeah, that seems like copium to me, but
fine. No, I don't disagree. But I think it's, to me, it's interesting on the, like, him having possibly issues with seeing James calling, especially at the early stages of this new Outsiders team. So maybe a little bit different as it goes further.
Do you know what it indicates to me? And we're going to go a little bit off topic here and talk about another story that did come out this week that we forgot to.
Oh, yeah. Hell yes.
So do you know who Norbert's old in-game leader was?
K's, no.
It was Nilan on K23, has been linked with Evil Geniuses this week. So, what I'm seeing is Norbert had Nilan, Jame is like unbelievably smart compared to him, and Evil Geniuses are going with Nilan, who is apparently much less smart than Jame. So that's all I'm saying. Evil Geniuses are making another bad move.
I think we're starting conspiracy theory.
That's what Norbert Norbert says. Nilan is rubbish and EG shouldn't sign him, is what I'm hearing. No, so the story there is supposedly EG are benching Stewie2k and Rush with Hooksie or Nilan as the in-game leader and Valde joining.
I want to have a note on this. Yep. Is that apparently they're looking to build around Automatic, and you only heard us talk about Rush and Stewie leaving. Breeze and Cirque's contracts are up soonish.
Yeah.
So they're not benching or cutting because those contracts will naturally just be done.
I'm pretty sure Valde will rate. I think a lot of the reason he'll be willing to join is that he rates automatic. The reason I think that is because I know North tried to sign automatic back in the day.
That's such a weird signing.
Yeah. I'm not sure at what point, but yeah, they tried to sign automatic at some point.
All right. So, former North players, Heroic.
Nice.
Top four in Clone Plains. So was our favorite team of the pod, Spirit.
Yeah. I think a lot. Obviously, I talk a lot about how good Chopper is, and some of it originally was tongue-in-cheek. It's like, I didn't think he was going to be this good an in-game leader. I always liked him as a player. I thought he was pretty underrated as a mechanical player and played a lot of difficult roles well. But Spirit have now lost Mia, Dexter, and
Someday Young.
They lost, back in the day, they lost... what was the name of that AWPer they had for a while? He was really inconsistent. Oh, it's... I can't remember the name. They had an AWPer who was really... Yes, Idis Balance, that's the guy. I loved Idis Balance, but he was either a 40-frag or a 4-frag guy. He was a bizarre player. So they lost Idis Balance, replaced him with Dexter. They've lost Mia, replacing with Patsy. They lost Someday Young, replacing with Siren. They've now lost Dexter, replacing with Wonderful. And it doesn't seem to matter.
Yep.
Like, whatever you think about this team, they keep losing great players and not missing a beat. That's unbelievably impressive. Like, who else could lose their two best players, replace them with, like, players from, you know, Wonderful was out of contract. Okay, everyone knew Wonderful was pretty good. Everyone knew Patsy was pretty decent. But I don't think anyone expected they would just come in, slot in, and they would just be the same team, if not better at some points. Like, when they lost Mia, they got better. If they lose Dexter and get better, then I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, this team is... They've got something good going, and I can't figure out how they're doing it, but they just keep losing great players and not getting worse. It's like Arsene Wenger's Arsenal, where they would just sell their best players, and then they were just, like, still finishing the top... Well, okay, by the end of it, the top four. But... You know, they were still finishing at the top of the table with, like, replacing their star players with a guy from Juve who no one had heard of, Thierry Henry, who then went on to be one of the best players of all time. And maybe Wonderful's just going to be one of the best players of all time.
This is possible. I don't think it's likely, but it's possible.
Wonderful hasn't even looked that good either.
No, he was very, very hyped, at least to... At the very least to us, right? I've seen, like, Twitter hype and stuff, but from people that you and I have talked to, there was a lot of hype around Wonderful. So
he is only 17, I believe. So yeah, you know, even if he doesn't do that well at his first tournament with Spirit, it's like he's got so much time on his side.
Yeah, he doesn't need to follow the Monazi route.
No. Not everyone could be Monazi.
Yep. So 5th through 8th, the teams get a little bit weirder here. We talk about 00 Nation, who we just talked on in Valencia, who absolutely fumbled the bag there. They exist again.
Yeah, but they beat Imperial to qualify. Like, if you're a Brazilian team and you're going to spend this much money to sign a team, cut them, and then sign your biggest rivals team, you better beat fucking Imperial. Like, you have to. Like, there's no other choice. It's like, oh, yeah, we qualified. Yeah, but who did you beat? Okay, fair enough. They beat Astralis in a best of one. Fine. Astralis, who are, you know, are in their own, their own struggles. But yeah, it's still an impressive win, don't get me wrong. But it was a best of one. The only best of three they won was against Imperial. Fine. I still don't think this team is good.
No disagreement. Though Tri did go absolutely nuclear in the game against Astralis.
Who, by the way, was the one player Cold Zero doesn't want on that team.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's normal. Mouse Sports looked like they may actually exist sometimes, possibly. I mean, they beat up on a lot of teams that they should have beat up on, which, to be fair, I'm not sure if I would have been able to say that about Mouse Sports like two months ago.
Like, when... I like Mouse, and I will just take any win I can get. Like, them not losing to a massive underdog is still a big win for Mouse at the moment. They just need to win some games just to get a little bit of confidence, a little bit of a run together, like have something work, because nothing has been working for so long for them. But also, if they do well, and they're like, oh, maybe we should like stay with this roster for a while, it's like, oh, come on. Just please, just end this suffering.
Next on the list is the always, we're not sure where to rank them because I have so many questions and right now they're all bad, Astralis.
Yeah.
You watch, so something I want to bring up before we talk about how they play. They bring up the player cams, right? In between like rounds and stuff, and they show the team. Blamef does not look happy.
Does Blamef ever look happy in game though?
So I don't think he looks happy normally, but he's looked not happy enough that like I've noticed it now.
Mm. I don't know. I feel like all of his teams have always just been kind of losing, so I've never really seen him look that happy when he's playing.
That's fair.
But yeah, no, I mean, there might be something in that. This team still just has massive like role clashes. Like, there's no reason Blamef and Zipix should be on the same team. It's quite obvious to me that they can't coexist. And I don't think Config and Glaive should be on the same team either.
Things are weird.
It's a strange team. Like, it doesn't really make any sense. They just have they don't have like a middle ground player on this roster. They have Blamef and Zipex who want to sit back. They've Glaive and Config who want to go forwards. And Farley, who wants to go forwards, but is being told to like sit back, it seems. Like, he's fitting more into Device's roles rather than being the explosive player he was previously. And it's like, they used to have Magisk, who was a middle ground player. Like, he will anchor a site if he needs to. He can go aggressive when he needs to. Like, he can kind of do a bit of everything. They don't seem to have that sort of link player between the pack and the lurk. Like, they don't seem to have that link player. Glaive just wants to go forwards because when Astralis were at their best, he was a very aggressive player. Config, we know you can't leash him. Like, you can't make him a mid-round player. Like, that's not what he's good at.
Yeah.
So it's like, who becomes the mid-round player? Like, do you make it like Farley? Where it's like on the AWP and the team's a little bit different. Like, it's kind of strange. The roles don't really make sense.
We've actually been rather vocal about not liking the way that this team has been put together. I'm going to continue to be slightly vocal about the way I don't like this team is put together. The only way they made it through, they lost to 0-0 Nation. They beat Complexity. 0-2.
Fine.
They beat Big.
Like, I mean,
Big's kind of a bigger upset because they just won in Rubet, but like, it furthers into the big theory of that they're just onliners.
Yeah,
and the second that you get to land, they're terrible.
Like, I don't think you can turn your nose up at a win over Big, honestly. I think,
To be fair, it was an extremely close series.
Yeah, and like, I think beating Big is like, okay, it's not like a marquee win. You're not going, fucking yes, we beat Big. Big are a decent team. Like, you beat them, you're like, okay, we're not, you know.
Big is, as we've stated, Big is the, like, the border to being a good team.
Yeah. I think they're a little bit worse than that now. But even still, like, they've beaten FaZe twice in the last year on that. Like, you can't turn your nose up at beating Big. It's like, I think the bigger point is that they needed Config to go fucking supernova. But at the same rate, like, it's kind of the point of Config. It's why he's on the team.
Yeah, Config didn't play well in the plans up until that point, so...
Yeah, he does do this sometimes. Like, he can, he's very mercurial. Like, some days he's barely in the server, other days he is the game. Like, that game revolves around him.
Last team that made the Cologne main event is Vitality.
Just about,
like,
they did not.
Sprout almost made the main event over Vitality.
Yeah, so I've said before, I think this Vitality team, similar to Astralis, like, I think there's issues with the way it's constructed. But they're a little bit, I mean, they have Magisk, who Magisk does help a lot of these like team compositions because he can do. He's so versatile. Like, I'm not Magisk's biggest fan, but he's really versatile. He can kind of do anything. And I think that does help. But you also have Dupree and Apex, who are two like career entry fraggers on the same team. And it's like, how do you utilize both at the same time? However, I did think they'd be better than this. Like,
this?
Sprout were very close to beating them. Sprout won map one in overtime. Map two was like, it was like 12-10, and then Sprout did the thing where they just collapse at the end. And then Sprout had a 7-round T side on Overpass? It was 6 or 7 T rounds on Overpass, which quite often would be enough to win the game. And then again, they just collapsed on the CT side. But Sprout, probably in every map, put themselves in a position to win it. And it was like, okay, Vitality eventually outclassed them at the end, but it shouldn't be getting this close. Like, they shouldn't be dropping a map to Sprout. Like, I know that's kind of Sprout's thing, is running it closer than collapsing. But I don't know. It wasn't like Vitality didn't look good. Like, they just didn't look good.
Do they ever, though? Like, I feel like this is one of those.
Are they?
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those things that we say every week that we go and we see a Vitality game and we say, oh, I don't like the way this team is put together. Like, we say these same words every week.
Yeah. I think eventually Apex will leave and Majisk will be the in-game leader. I think Zonic was trying to make Majisk IGL on Astralis. Apex and Dupree, I think, can't really coexist. I just think eventually that'll be the change they make. And it's player break after Cologne, so I guess we'll find out then.
All right. So now the teams that didn't make it in no super great particular order. Imperial, who were fine, I guess, maybe. I mean, they lost to Outsiders, they won against Order, they lost to Zero Internet. Like, they were...
Yeah, no surprises.
So here's the thing,
team's
right?
about this as is, good as you thought.
Yeah, fine. this is the Imperial you thought and how good you thought they were going to be. This is not the Imperial from the Major. This is what you should theoretically expect from the future for Imperial.
Yeah, this is, like, what you expect, basically.
But now the most important team in the event so far, Ty Lu, with a match win over MIBR.
Literally no idea. This team is awful. Like, I do not know how they beat MIBR. I watched them play Illumina, and they were appalling. Like, appalling.
To be fair, they beat MIBR because MIBR absolutely threw the Vetoes.
Sure, but like, it shouldn't matter. Ty Lu picked Overpass against Illumina like a month ago. Less than a month ago. And got battered, like, 16-2. Their T-sides are non-existent. It is literally matchmaking T-sides. They will just walk in one by one in different parts. No flashes, no smokes. They will just peek something. Even if they get the bomb down, they'll just over-peek. Like, MIBR should not be losing that game. I do not care. Like, that is a complete failure on MIBR's part.
I don't care. I'm calling it a win for Ty Lu. we talked about Big already, but they were another one of the 9-12 teams. So they lost to Astralis, they beat Order, they lost to Outsiders. Honestly, the two losses they have are both respectable losses. I'd probably say that they lose to those. That's kind of just, unfortunately, luck at the draw on making it through.
Yep.
Sprout, who had a good showing. We talked about them against Vitality. Well, yep. Good showing for Sprout.
Good, like, heroic failure is their modus operandi.
Yeah. So, and then bottom four of the table were Order, MIBR, Pain, and let's have a little bit more of a conversation about Complexity.
Do we have to?
I want to touch on what we talked about in the intro. So, our good friends over at Dust2.
Such a good headline.
Have the beautiful headline from Grimm. Every other team has pressure because they don't want to be the first to lose to Complexity.
It's so sad. How do you motivate yourself for going, the pressure's all on them because we're dog shit. It's like, oh god.
Do you know the last time Complexity won an official match?
Oh god, was it against Heat?
No.
Thank God.
They haven't played Heat recently.
Because that was I know. But I remember them beating Heat like 4 months ago. Was it against like EG?
So they beat Movistar in something in Rubet, but it was a best of one, and it's weird because it doesn't show up on a full page, but it shows up on Movistar forfeit due to scheduling conflict. Never mind. Lol.
that counts. We're counting it.
No, the last time they have a win on the books where they had rounds was Complexity beating IHC in the PGL Major in Antwerp.
Fucking hell, lads. I mean,
and before that, it's all like it's Carpe Diem, Sal Catano, 00 Nation on like the third iteration back, Team One. They beat Evil Geniuses, which sounds about correct.
Sal Catano, right? Don't even exist anymore. They've since they last beat them, they've become a different team.
Yeah, like you start going back, and it's like, oh, and these are all the teams that like. I just really hope that they can beat in North America, like Sal Catano, old 00 Nation, Evil Geniuses, right? Team One, that kind of stuff. So where this team is just non-existent anymore, and like, there's going to be moves on this. I am willing to put the Logan Ramhap stamp of guarantee that there's going to be roster moves for this team.
Didn't the Complexity coach come out and say basically that? He said, I imagine there will be changes.
I didn't hear that, but that's just furthering my stamp of approval.
I believe it was a Dust Who interview, but he said, I believe there will be some changes. I mean, there's already like rumors going around about him signing.
Thank you, TC. It's right here. He absolutely did, in fact, say that.
Yeah.
Complexity.
There's a rumor that they're trying to convince OC to come back. I say come back, you know what I mean? But I don't see Liquid giving him up.
I think that on everybody on Liquid, that OC is the most untouchable.
Yeah, pretty much. I think Nafly, but...
I think either or, and to be fair, I don't think either of them are very...
There's no way Nafly is leaving. I think that they're definitely going to try and sign an AWPer. I mean, they've already kind of missed the boat on, like, I was trying to say, like, Nika Doz or Wonderful, and then realize how ridiculous that sounded. I don't know who they can possibly... I think they have to go to, like, the European Tier 2 scene and find somebody there. I think that's your best shout. Somebody who hasn't yet played on a top-tier team, who you think can make the step up. I don't think the AWPers are there in North America, unfortunately. I think you have to either go to Brazil. If you don't come to Brazil, Brazil comes to you. You bring them to you. Or you go to the European Tier 2 scene. Or the third option is like Sterling from Australia.
That option. I don't feel like that's a great option either.
I don't either, but... He might be decent. Like it's hard to tell. You'd have to watch a lot of his demos and figure out like, is this guy actually good or is he just playing in Australia? It's as simple as that. I mean, it kind of sounds flippant, but you have to watch a lot of his footage to go, actually, do I think this guy could make the step up to a higher tier or is he just like AWPing Australians?
I like how we're calling North America a higher tier than Australia. I'm not sure that's true. But
no,
I'm
no. Go with it. Complexity play in higher tier tournaments because
for now they do.
Yeah, well,
will they really keep getting invites like this?
They'll probably keep qualifying.
All right. Cologne main event. It started. It's Thursday at just shy of 10 a.m., so the second slate of opening round games for Group A.
Or 10 to 4 if you're European.
But, okay, point is, the second slate of the Group A games will be starting. So Mao's Navi is about to start, and Ents Vitality is about to start. But we have two games we can talk about in this from there already, and we have...
Nothing interesting happened, just the teams you expect to win won.
NIP... NIP 2-0'd Heroic, you know, that's actually kind of normal. To be fair, that's actually kind of normal. I wouldn't have been uber surprised by that. I would have expected a closer match, but...
Really? I'm more surprised that NIP beat Heroic than Movistar beat G2. I am more surprised than NIP beat Heroic.
No. Okay, so here's a Twitterverse question for you. Do you follow Shox on Twitter? Not the player, the broadcast talent. Did you see the Twitter video that she made from the G2 losing to Movistar?
No, I didn't.
So it's her. It's like how I felt after the G2 game. It's her starting to put lipstick on, and then she puts two long lines here and does the clown thing. And just it starts to morph into the clown, and it was top 10 content.
Excellent.
But yeah, Movistar beat G2 and NIP beat Heroic, and everything is off in the world now.
Both 2-0 as well. Like, I could see a world where NIP beat Heroic. I mean, we're living in a world where it happened, so it's kind of a moot thing to say. But I could have foreseen it happening, but in like a really tight 2-1 where they properly like ground it out. But they just 2-0'd them, like, simple as. I mean, 16-13, it's not like... Not a blowout, but it's a, you know, didn't go to overtime, won both maps. Pretty simple. NIP continue, they continue to surprise me. They're a genuinely really good team. And I just didn't think this would happen.
Which, like, is the worst for those of us who were very negative on this NIP team. Because, and I still have this issue, who is the opper?
It's Estatag, apparently. Estatag was always mechanically a pretty solid AWPer. He AWPs, I believe, on an old version of Heroic, and he was always the secondary AWPer before that, and he was pretty decent.
But he was never a primary AWPer.
AWPing is really easy. It's the easiest role. It's as simple as that. Like, if you have hands... Like, if you're a pro player, you can probably AWP, like, within a month or two to other practice. Like, it's not that difficult.
We talked about this in the TLDR Discord. I think I don't remember if you said or if I said it, but one of us said if you have hands, you can AWP.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. If you're a bad player, the easiest way to get, like, a higher rank is to just AWP all the time. Because it's just... You don't have to be able to aim. It's as simple as that. Like, you have to be able to... It's more to do with your understanding of the game than it is to do with your hands, whereas rifling requires both. It's the easiest role. And I think... I guess, with me, the reason I didn't think NIP would be that good is I just didn't actually think Hampus was this good. Like, I knew Hampus was good. I knew he was good from when he was, like, the best in-game leader in Tier 2. And like fragging, and his teams always look good. And I was like, okay, this guy's good. He could make the step up, but I thought he'd be more like Nexa, where he was like a good fragger at one level, kind of okay at the others. And then like he came to NIP and he was like decent. And I was like, okay, he's better than I thought. And now he's just their best player. Like, I just don't get it. Like, he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. He's like Blame F.
But he's the best player on a team with Brolin. And Rez.
Yeah, like it's like flip a coin if you prefer him or Brolin. To me, Hampus is the best player on this team. He's the in-game leader. He's been given a team that was devoid of the guy they paid. Like, they spent most of their budget on an AWPer who is just not playing. And he still created NIP might be like the third or fourth best team in the world.
So here's my interesting fact about Hampus. Do you know how he plays Counter-Strike? He has weird binds.
Oh, God.
They're not super weird. And they're... So he has weird binds because of wrist injury. So this is my mouse. You see how it's got the two side buttons?
Yep.
One of these turns left 90 degrees and one of them turns right 90 degrees. so that way he can turn corners without having to flick his mouse across, which helps his wrist not have a huge amount of injury.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
What the fuck? That's really bizarre. That's really bizarre.
I have to remember. Yeah. Okay. I it's literally from NIP. Like, it's NIP's page has this.
I'm actually just baffled. That's
really on his bizarre. Fun facts. It says uses a turn keybind for every turn in game. And I remember hearing that it's specifically he had a wrist injury, so he uses side buttons on his mouse now to turn left and right in game.
I mean, that makes sense. It's just, I actually just can't wrap my head around that. That's,
oh yeah, it makes no,
feel the quite amount of, uncomfortable.
The amount of muscle memory you have to turn 90 degrees left and like discipline to actually press the button and not just move your mouse is insane.
Yeah. How does he like, because you know, sometimes you need to check left and right quickly. You have to go like, yeah, you know, say you're coming out mid-doors on Dust 2. You want to like look at the window and then you want to check CT and then you want to check the doors and then you want to check deeper CT. How does he flick between them? I guess he just doesn't go mid.
He just doesn't play there.
Like, if that's true and like he actually can't do that, that makes him like infinitely more impressive. If he actually can't check angles quickly because of his wrist and he's still this good, he must just be the best player of all time.
I think his wrist is fine now. I think he's just more concerned with...
He just keeps it because of...
He doesn't want to injure himself again because he had previously had the wrist injury, which is a totally viable thing. Like, please don't injure yourself. So, like, that's legit.
That's really impressive to me that he can actually do that.
That's your weird, interesting, fun fact from my brain from today.
NIP might be the best team in the world, actually. I've changed my mind.
Matches that are about to happen that by the time this comes out will obviously be done. Navi will beat Mouse 2-1.
Ooh.
Spicy here.
I'll be surprised if Mouse get like 5 rounds.
Ents will beat Vitality. This one will actually probably be 2-1.
That one could be... I honestly don't know. Like, Ents were really good, and then they've been really wobbly recently. Like, you would expect they'll beat Vitality, but I just don't know. Like, I really don't know if Ents are any good anymore.
Group B matches from the rest of today: Cloud9 Outsiders, which should actually just straight up be a banger.
Cloud9 should win that though. Like,
Cloud9 should.
They're just much better structured.
Okay, and then there's this last match. I actually am excited for, and it's not just because I'm a stupid Liquid fan. Which is Yekindar playing for Liquid against Spirit.
Yeah, that's fine.
Here's the thing, right? Spirit's really good. We have praised Spirit. Liquid is not great, but Yekindar is like the person that any Liquid fan has been praying for them to sign.
Yep.
And you see him subbing now for Liquid in the biggest tournament of the year, other than the majors. And this is just... This is good vibes all over for Counter-Strike fans.
I love that Team Liquid have like basically 3 entry fraggers on the same team. You have Nitro, who was a hard entry back in the day. Elige, who's been their hard entry recently, and Yekindar, who's the best hard entry in the world.
To be fair, Nitro has always kind of been the glue player. He kind of just does what the team needs. When he joined Liquid, he was a star rifler, like in 2015. Then he slowly moved over to the Opper.
He was an entry fragger for a decent length of time. Like, he was a hard entry.
But my point is he's played, like, everything, just dependent on what the team needs.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that they have 3, because my bet is that internally they don't consider Nitro an entry fragger.
Yeah. It's just, like, it's kind of bizarre to me. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to have... Like, wherever you are on the map, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll entry, that's fine. Yeah, I've done this before. Yeah, okay, I'll go in.
And I can't say that NAF or OC are bad entry players either.
I mean, you probably don't want OC. You probably don't want either of them going in first, realistically.
I mean, not when OC's on the op, but OC's rifle is actually...
Yeah, he's actually a surprisingly good rifler, I think, OC. Yeah.
Which is good for this team, which, you know, has 3 oppers on it.
Yeah, and also Liquid traditionally weren't a particularly AWP-heavy team. So...
Yeah, that was also with some guy that is about to be benched calling, so.
Yeah, true.
I have one more bit of information that's come out while we've been recording. Actually, it may have come out a couple days yesterday. But IEM Cologne press conferences happened. And Simple has confirmed that he is no longer going to be taking a break.
I missed this.
Apparently so. This came out from AFK Gaming. I don't have like an exact video link, but it does seem that this is like straight from the press conference, which is lovely. Good to hear. Enjoyable in all senses. And the most important bit about this is it means that Sum Dae-young gets more time to play with the team right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's just going to be the full. He's just going to sign for them. Unless they completely bomb out at Cologne, I think he'll just stay. Cologne, Simple basically said, like, oh, I hope he stays for Cologne. So clearly, like, Simple actually likes him. And I think that's kind of the big thing. It's like, does Simple give you the seal of approval? Yes, then you can join. You know how in League of Legends, in T1, you can't join T1 as a coach unless Faker says yes. It's like, if Simple says yes, you just join. Like, if Simple likes you, like, Simple is God. Like, you just take his
Simple decision. Is the unkillable Demon King?
Basically. Unkillable, yeah, it's such a bad nickname, isn't it? The unkillable Demon King. It's just, it's so bad. It's not the best nickname I've heard in esports is Zywoo being called the game. That's so good. He's the game. Because he was born on the same day the game came out and he's like the end boss.
That is good. I also like Burger King.
Nah, it's this too.
As a meme nickname, nah, man. That is a real nickname.
I don't like puns. I think puns are a very low form of humor.
Ah, you're just wrong. All right. Speaking of more things that are wrong, I'm prepared to be wrong with all of our predictions, but that's going to be it for this week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RetailDR, at LoganRahup, and at AZAsk. We'll be back again next week with Cologne and not programming notes yet, but soon programming notes.
Yes. I mean, the player break ends.
Player break
starts at some point.
On the 18th. It starts on the 18th, and it goes until the 24th. For 14th, somewhere in there.
Okay.
14th, I think, is the official date. It's the 18th of July until the 14th of August. We're going to have interesting programming in there. We may actually still be every week, but it almost certainly won't be the same stuff you're used to. So stay tuned for that. We'll have more information next week. But until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.